Blog Talk Radio.
What's up? You guys are on.
Amen.
What's up? Can you hear me?
Amen. It's good to be here. Amen. This is Overseer Tim Jackson. Amen. I'm quite sure the watchman on the wall will be here shortly. I did speak to the brother. Amen. So it is a blessing.
Tim, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I hear you good. Bazaar is on. I can't hear him, though.
Huh. Okay.
Okay, I guess you can go ahead and take over, but he's on.
Okay, no problem. I'm quite sure he'll come on. I'm quite sure the brother will be on here in a minute.
Yes.
Tim the Overseer. Tim the Overseer, it's good to be here. Watching
you hear
the
me,
wall.
Hello? Do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
One, two, three. You hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, I hear you. We on. This is Watching on the Wall. We have a little adjustment. Little adjustment tonight. But we're going to get on the Word of God tonight. We ain't going to let the devil defeat this program. We're here because we want to let you know, amen, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, and that he died and rose again, and he's coming back again to get a church. We're here to talk about a few issues that's very, 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 very critical in these times that we're living in. We're going to let you hear from the Antichrist. He's here on the earth right now. He's 54 years old. We're going to talk about the rapture and what's going to happen when he comes and how it's going to happen when he comes. And we're going to share with you the Word of God, what the Bible says, not what I think, not what Brother Tim think, not what some theologian think, but we are going to tell you exactly what's getting ready to happen on this planet, the planet Earth, 7.1 billion people on this Earth right now. And we are at the close of the last generation. The last generation ends. Listen to me now, because this is serious. This is very serious. 2029 is the end of this generation, which concludes 6,000 years of church age, human history, 2,000 years of church age. So now we're living in the last church age. So we're going to be covering some various, very unique topics in the Word of God, and listen to what the Word of God says, because God's Word is true. Let every man be a liar. At this time, Brother Tim going to bring in the love chapter in Corinthians. He's going to read that, and then he's going to come back to me, and then I'm going to get it started off, and we're going to talk about the Antichrist. The Antichrist.
Right.
Brother Tim, go ahead and read that love chapter.
Amen. All right. Amen. It's good to be here. Amen. It's a blessing, more than a blessing to be here. Amen. It's a blessing to be in the Word. Amen. We'll come to you from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, and read 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter. This is the context of love written by Apostle Paul. It says, but cover earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent faith. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long in its kind. Charity envied not. Charity vaunted not itself. Did not behave itself unseemly, seeking not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinking no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the grace of these is charity, charity meaning love. Amen.
Oh, yes, yes. Thank you, Brother Tim. Thank you for that scripture. Apostle Paul writing about love. Love, love, God's love. God's love is far beyond any love that man can give. Man can't really give love, true love, unless he knows the true God. If you don't know the true God, you just can't love truly. You can't love your friends. You can't love your enemies truly unless you have God's love. God is love. You hear what I said? I said God is love. Love was here before hate was. Hate came later on after the fall of Lucifer. Lucifer is the anointed cherubim in the Bible. He's in the Bible. He's mentioned about 35 times in the Bible. And by mentioning in the Bible, that means that he has little to say about who God is. He know who God is. He's seen God. He was at the presence of his creation. He saw himself come into existence by God speaking. God spoke. God by himself. God didn't have nobody else to help him. He didn't have no other to direct him. He was before anything was. He will be here after everything else is gone. Satan came into existence as a anointed cherub. And we will be talking about that anointed cherub in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. And we will be talking about this year anointed cherub in the book of Isaiah. There's a couple more of the books that Satan you can see him in there, and he's kind of mingled around there. He's on the low key, but he's tried to be big. He tried to be the big shot. He tried to overthrow God while he was in heaven. I want you to get an understanding of this, because a lot of people think there ain't no devil. They say he don't exist, and they say the devil knows he exists. He knows where he's going. What happened is he got too proud for himself because of his beauty. He was a beautiful angel. My. I've been there on this road before, and I'm here to tell you that he is a gorgeous, used to be. You hear what I said? He used to be one of the most powerful angels in heaven, known as Lucifer, the son of the morning. And what happened by his beauty, his gorgeous look, his strut, his walk, his position to protect God's throne and to take his wings and cover the throne of God to be the protector of God's throne. That's all he could do. Plus, he was a musician. He took care of the angelic choir. My God, he had the angelic choir, and God gave him the right to be the music man, to be the director. Amen. And he was a music box. He had every instrument that you see today, the flute, the guitar, the drum, the horn, the trumpet, the bugle, the trombone. Oh, man, he had every music instrument and still, listen to what I'm saying, and still in his body. And he had every jewel and every diamond and every emerald and every crystallite. He was out of sight. You talking about sharp. He was so sharp that it got next to him, and he thought he could overthrow God. That's where Lucifer failed. Lucifer failed rebelling against God, the God of heaven, the eternal one. The one that had no beginning. He is self-existent. And he thought that he could overthrow God Almighty with his beauty. See, he wanted position. He wanted to dethrone God. Now listen, dethrone the Creator, put him in the pinnacle, put him down below his feet, and stomp on it, and kick him out of heaven. Well, how can you kick God out of heaven when he's everywhere? Where you going to kick him? You can't kick him nowhere. You can't dethrone him, because without him, there's nothing in existence. And by him, everything is made. So Lucifer said, I'm going to dethrone. So what he did, he went through heaven like a lion, telling all the other angels that he's going to do a coup in heaven. And he took one-third of the angelic angels. One-third. I don't know how many that is. Could be a quadrillion. Could be a billion. Could be a million. Could be a trillion. I don't know. But it was a large host of angels that followed Satan because he deceived them and getting them to believe that he could overthrow God Almighty. And he wanted one-third. He co-signed. To get one-third of the angelic beings of the angels of heaven. When he got his crew together, this is in heaven now. This ain't on earth. He got his crew in heaven, and he went before Yahweh. He went before Elohim. He went before the great I Am. He went before God himself and said, all right, I come to dethrone you, creator, maker, designer. I got one-third of the host of heaven in my hand, and now you got to come off the throne. Come on off. Well, that fool didn't have the sense enough to know. He wasn't going to do sweat but talk. And if you would read, I'm going to have brother Tim Jackson to read that later on. I'm not going to read that right now, but I want him to read when he comes with his session. I want him to read the 14th chapter of Isaiah and see what Satan had in plan. So what happened? He was cast to the earth. And by him being cast to the earth was already made. And when he cast to the earth, he disformed it because the world went into chaos. He took one-third of the angelic beings and he came to earth and he literally, literally wrecked the whole thing. Because why? He was mad at God. He was mad at the Creator. He was determined. I'm gonna ruin you for life when he wasn't even life. Jesus Christ is life. God is life. And what happened? He became a dark foe. He became a dark foe. He became very evil because he began to hate God because he couldn't get his position. And the angels that followed him hated God because they knew when God spoke, they had to get out of heaven. God kicked them out, and he kicked them to earth, and Satan deformed the earth, and God had to recreate the heavens and earth because Satan had deformed it. When he deformed it, God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And when he put him in the Garden of Eden, God said, I'm going to make man after my likeness. I'm going to let him look like me. I want him to talk like me. I want him to say what I say. And guess what? Adam and Eve was put in the Garden of Eden. And when he was put in the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam and Eve a free choice to choose.
Amen.
Listen, choose. Man got a choice. The world's got a choice now. The world got a choice to serve God or serve Lucifer. The world got a choice to serve God or serve Lucifer. And Lucifer said, I want you to serve God, but I want you to serve me in the place of God. I want you to worship me in the place of God. But I want you to name God now, because if you can name God, I can deceive you to believe that the works I do is of God and you will serve me. But see, you can't do that. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you're not worshiping God in the Holy Spirit, if you're not worshiping God in the pureness of heart, if you're not worshiping God in the spirit, you are not worshiping God. You're worshiping Satan. And Satan today got people worshiping him, and people think it's God. It's not God. They just having a form of godliness, but they ain't got no power. Let me run on a little further, and I'm going to give it to the brother. So now Satan is on earth now. Satan is on earth now. He's been on this earth for 6,000 years and made a wreck out of it. He's making a wreck out of other people. He's making a wreck of the world. He's making a wreck of everything he touches. Why? Because he's destructive. He is the destroyer. He is a murderer. He is a liar. He is a shyster. He is a bow-legged backside backyard baboon. He don't care nothing about nobody. He hates God. He hates his angels. He hates mankind to a point where he says to the God of heaven, I'm going to eliminate mankind because I'm jealous. I am jealous because you give man the earth and you didn't give it to me. But I'm when you make man, I'm going to make sure that he turned his back on you. And you know what God could do? God couldn't do nothing because Satan's just talking. God gave him the opportunity. All right, you continue your rebel. Continue your lying and cheating, backbiting, and keep on doing what you're doing. I'm going to give you a period of 6,000 years. I'm still going to put man on this earth. And I'm still going to let man have a right to choose who he want to choose. I'm going to give man all the rights to choose who he want to choose. And guess what? God is letting Satan fulfill his desire to destroy the whole human race. But I got some news for you, Lucifer. I got some news for you, Beelzebub. I got some news for you, old dragon, you old lazy, low-down, dirty, I want to say sucker. And that's what he is, because he'll suck every grain of mercy out of you. He'll suck everything that you got. He'll suck you away from the love of God and make you feel like God is a mean, cruel person. But I want to let you know, the brother read the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians and said that God is love. He wrote, says, love is long-suffering, love is mercy, love is forgiving, and that's what God is. But what we're going to come into, we're going to come into what? We're going to let you know where the Antichrist is. We're going to let you know what he's going to do. We're going to let you know where he's going to rule and reign. We're going to let you know how long he's going to reign. And we're going to do that tonight to give you an understanding of what the battle is all about. The battle is God is battling against the souls of men. God wants to save souls. And so Satan wants to damn your soul. Hey, man, it's not the white man you should be mad at. It's not the black man you should be mad at. It's not no nationality in this face of the earth that you should be mad at or prejudiced about. It's the devil that people need to get mad at. People need to reject. And they're not rejecting the devil because the devil makes it look pretty on the outside. But on the inside, he's a raving wolf. He's a beast. He's an animal. He's a dragon. He's a beast that comes up out of the sea of humanity. And this beast, listen to me, this beast is going to come up on the earth pretty soon. But before he comes up on the beast, on the earth and becomes the beast, he's going to become the Antichrist first. And the brother is going to break it on down a little further about this Antichrist. And this Antichrist, let me tell you, before Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, listen to what I'm saying. Before Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, the Antichrist is coming first. The Antichrist will have the privilege of ruling the world for 7 long years. He will rule the first part in deception and getting people to believe that he is the true Christ when he will be the true devil incarnated. And in the second part, he becomes from the Antichrist to the beast of the earth. He's going to become the beast that come up out of the sea, and he's going to rule the world real hard in the last 3.5 years. He's going to take control of this, the political world. He's going to take care of the political world, the religious world, and the economical world. He's going to have full control of everything on this planet. And we're going to find out what he's going to do with it. Brother, work with it.
Amen. Amen. All glory be to the Most High. Amen. It's good to be here, brother. Thank you for that awesome word, that awesome start. Amen. Antichrist. Amen. What can we say about him? Amen. There's probably a lot that we can say about him. Amen. This man of sin is soon to be revealed, we believe, based on the events that are happening. Amen. I just saw in the news feed today that Turkey has just blocked, I can't remember the two countries. I'm trying to think of them. There were two European nations that are trying to join NATO, and Turkey blocked it. Amen. Okay. So again, we have to pay attention to what's going on because, as the brother said, and as we've been saying for years now, the man of sin is soon to be revealed. Amen. So we know that all these nations are coming together. Amen. This is all part of Bible prophecy because we know that the Antichrist will unite 10 European countries under this world-class federation, which is known as NATO. And what's going to happen is we know that the Antichrist is going to sign a peace treaty with Israel. And we know that this is a false treaty because what's going to happen? We know in the middle of the seven-year tribulation, after the first 3.5 years, he's going to what? Break that treaty. Amen. He's going to go back on his word. So to give you, to give you an example, to give you an example of the Antichrist, I know a lot of people like to use Hitler at this modern day and time. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've been saying this for the past couple of years about the Great Tribulation. Yeah, there's going to be so much death on this planet. They're not getting the plastic graves ready for no reason. They're getting the plastic graves ready because there's going to be so many dead bodies on this planet that they're just going to throw people. They don't have no mortuaries.
No.
It's not going to have time to clean the bodies up and dress them up and make them look pretty and nice and put on a suit.
No.
Amen, brother. It's funny because I was thinking about this today and they're not going to dress you up and make you look pretty and make you smell good. They're just going to throw you in the grave. It's sad. I was looking at this documentary earlier today about King Leopold from Belgium. It was King Leopold II, and he lived closer to the latter part of the 1800s. And from 1885 to, I think, 1908, he did something very disturbing. He was killing the Congolese Africans. You say, well, what does this have to do with the Antichrist? Well, I'm going to explain to you. They said he murdered about 15 million people, half of that population. And he was cutting off people's hands and limbs and legs, and if they didn't want to work, he just had them killed. And this was very sad because you think about it. This was back in the late 1800s. 15 million people, that was more than the Holocaust.
Come on now.
You don't hear nobody talking about it.
No.
15 million people is a lot of people. Not a million. 15 million people. Over a period of about 20 years. That is sad. And when I say that to say this, the Antichrist is going to be all these people that you could think of from the past.
Come on,
slave owners, presidents, because you got to throw them all in there. See, you can't exclude the presidents of the United States. A lot of them helped conduct slavery. You think about the people in the Holocaust that have died. The things that happened over in Japan, all the people have died. The people in China and Russia, millions of people. This ain't the first time that Russia has had an encounter with Ukraine. I found out like back in the early 1900s, millions of Ukrainians were murdered and killed at the hand of the Russian leadership. And I'm saying that to say this, that all over this planet, for hundreds and thousands of years, man, wicked rulers, because of greed, because of money. Remember, the love of money is the root of all evil. Rape, molestation, taking the best sexual assault. This type of stuff has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. People have been murdered. There's probably documents lost in history. This stuff has probably happened thousands of years in the past. We just don't have no record of it. where people have been killed in the high millions. This is nothing new. And I said that to say this. This is what you got to look forward to if you want to be here. And see, the problem with people today at this type, day and age, they think something like that can't happen in America.
Come on now.
They think stuff like that can't happen in Europe. You think it can't happen. You think it can't happen in these first world countries, only in third world countries stuff. Man, let me tell you, when the Antichrist come on the scene, it ain't going to be nothing nice. In the high millions. This is what you got to look forward to if you reject Christ. If you say to yourself and within your heart, I don't want to do that. I believe that's a bunch of fairy tale and hocus pocus. Man, this stuff ain't. And slowly but surely, the pieces of the puzzle are coming together. We see it every day. Things are unfolding. Russia's going to invade Israel in the middle of the tribulation. These things are going to happen. This is not something that's going to bypass us. We can wish that this don't happen. I know that none of us wants it to happen, okay? Amen. But guess what?
Amen, son.
It's Bible prophecy. It's got to happen. It's inevitable. It will happen. And your only chance of escaping this is the cross. It's the blood of the cross. That's the only thing that's going to save you from what's about to happen on this planet, is that Christ will return. Amen. He will return to this earth. In the Bible, if you notice, the Bible talks about a second coming, but it also talks about an appearing. The appearing that Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, was the great mystery of the church. Christ was going to come back and rapture that, get the church. He was going to save the church from which was going to happen. Let me share the scripture with you real quick. Amen.
Take your time.
Try not to lose my little bookmarks I got. Amen. Let me go over to St. John, the 17th chapter. St. John, 17th chapter, verse 12. Let's read what it says. This is Christ speaking. How do you know it's Christ? Because we've always been taught ever since we were kids. Anytime the writing is in red, that is Christ himself speaking. It says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that gavest me, I have kept.
Yes.
And none of them, I want you to hear me of them is lost. What people must realize is that God had a plan.
Come on.
God had a plan since the beginning of time. When Adam and Eve did what they did, God told Adam, I'm going to give you a second chance. Boy, y'all don't know how good God is. God is so, when I say God is graceful and merciful, God is full of grace and mercy. If you ask him for grace, he'll give you grace. If you ask him for mercy, he's a merciful God. He can deliver you from a situation after it has already happened. Irregardless, like my dad used to always say, as long as you got breath in your life, you got opportunity to receive salvation.
Come on now.
The devil has the power to destroy the body, but only God has the power to destroy the very soul. What does that mean? It don't matter what you may suffer in this life or whatever type of loss you may suffer, whether it be physical, mental, financial, whatever it is that you may lose in this life, God has the power, and he will restore it in the end. Christ said, I'm telling you, you may have life and have life more, but he's going to restore. There's nothing lost in Christ. What you think you may have lost, sickness, diseases, illnesses, a loved one, God can and will restore it. He will. That's his promise. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come unto you again. In other words, he's going to come back and get us. He made a promise to the church. He said, you know what, before it all go down, I'm going to come back and get you. You don't have to worry about buying bunkers. You don't need to worry about going to get a bunker. And because, see, here's the thing anyway. Don't you know that most people are saved, the poor people anyway? There are people who are just getting by. Most people who are saved and have salvation got maybe a little money in the bank, but not a lot of money. I'm not saying that there are no saved millionaires. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there are far few in between is what I'm saying to you.
There are far few
in between. Most of the people that are saved, we don't have no money to buy a bunch of guns. We don't have enough money to survive the famine that's coming. We don't have money to afford $5 to $10 gas prices. We don't have money to buy bunkers, thousands of dollars to go buy bunkers put them in the ground with store. God already knew this was thought of way back in the beginning. When God told Lucifer to his face in front of Adam and Eve, I'm going to give you a second chance. And he told Adam and Satan, he said, I'm going to send one. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head, Satan.
Yeah.
He's going to come, and he's going to put you under. The devil was a trim. He was what you say, Dr. Slewfoot. He started knocking me. He started trembling. He said, what? And he is mad. And I'm going to say, amen. I'm going to say, he's mad as hell because man has got a second chance. Because God has given you the second chance to receive his son, to bypass this storm that's coming. He's going to protect you from the storm. You can best believe he's going to call you out. He's going to take you out of this situation. This terrible storm that's about to hit the planet, you won't have nothing to do with. People can't see it coming because you want to know why? They look at the current situation of the world and think, See, that's because man has put his trust in mankind instead of God. But the Bible teaches us not to trust no man. That means don't trust yourself is what the Bible said. Don't even trust yourself. Tim don't even trust himself. I'm gonna be real. I don't trust Tim because I'm man. I'm subject to fail and I'm subject to lie. That's just the truth. Amen.
Come on.
The Bible said if you claim that you're without sin, the Bible said that you're a liar and the truth ain't in you. Let's tell the truth. Stop lying, folks. Let's tell the truth. Amen. I'm reading to you St. John, the 17th chapter, verse 12. I'm not through breaking it down, but I had to share this with you because I want you to know that once you are saved, you are always saved. This is why Christ said that I kept them in thy name. Those that thou, in other words, those that you gave me, I have kept. In other words, if you come to Christ, you confess with your mouth and you believe in God, said you are kept. You are mine. And he said, and none of them. In other words, there's no such thing as you losing your salvation. You can't lose your salvation. It says none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, that is the scripture, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So basically right now, amen, amen. Just like Judah, remember Judah, how he betrayed Christ?
He did.
Once upon a time, the theologians and the scholars debating. They said, he didn't have a chance at salvation. No, everybody has a chance at salvation, but because of your heart, when you have a reprobate mind and your mind becomes seared as a hot iron, if you made up in your mind that you're not going to serve, see, the Antichrist, there are just some people who just, when they're born, I'm talking about, man, I know people right now that like this doctor. Man, they've been cutting up since they were kids. I'm like, man, they were. I'm serious. I know people who've been evil, but was there a chance? God loves everybody. There was always a chance, but some people don't want to change.
Don't want to change.
Chance after chance, give them years of their life to repent. They have just made up in their mind that they go into hell and they go into the lake of fire.
Yeah.
They made up in their mind.
Yeah.
They have made up in their mind. They're not going to change. This is your Antichrist that's going to come to this planet soon. And, man, when I tell you life is going to be taken on this planet, you think this pandemic or something. You think about
come
the
on.
People who have died, been murdered over years, 5 or 10 years in the millions. You're going to see millions of people leaving this planet in months, in weeks, in days.
Lord.
You're
yes, Lord.
Millions. And I'm not saying that just to be mean. I'm not saying it because I'm saved and they're not saved.
No,
I'm saying it because this is truth. So what Daniel prophesied and Christ emphasized was that there will be no time like it. There has never been a time or like the tribulation. People are going to be dying left and right. So many things will happen on this planet.
Yeah.
First
yeah.
thing that's going to happen is when Christ comes back to get the church, the suicide rate is going to go through the roof. When people's children are gone, when people loved ones are gone, they're not going to know what they're not going to know what to do. You think suicide is on the rise now? This
come
pandemic
on.
And stuff is going on. Ain't nothing.
No.
People are going to be taking their lives like nothing. And not
nothing.
Only that, you got to understand, if you're a believer and you're driving a car, you're driving the bus, hey, it's fry game. Because God has given you the opportunity to become saved. And once the Holy Spirit steps out the way and the devil going to have his way, the church is gone, people going to be dying.
Yeah.
The things about planes falling out of the earth, hey, you had the chance to get saved before that happened. Cars having a wreck, stock market crashing. People going to be going insane. People going to be dying left and right. People going to be committing suicide so their kids are gone. Murder going to be on the rise. They ain't going to have enough police officers to handle the situation around the world. The world's going to be in chaos.
Chaos.
And people going to be just chaos. Tens of thousands of people and the hundreds of thousands of people will be dead within days, within weeks. And the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. He's going to try to smooth things over.
Yeah.
He's going to try to be a smooth operator.
Operator.
Amen. He's going to come on the scene. Amen. And he's going to smooth things over. But the reality is, he's a wicked person.
Wicked.
He's a son. He's wicked. Amen. We say evil, we say bad. He's a wicked person. In other words, amen. He has the spirit of the devil in him. He don't
devil.
Care about nobody but himself. Nobody but himself.
Nobody but
and
himself.
And so he's gonna be like a Superman type of person. People are gonna
come
think
on,
he's smart.
Come on.
It's like the doctor said, you remember Superman, what was his name? Clark Kent, I think that was his name. I remember when I was a kid, brother, in elementary, the girls used to talk about Clark Kent. They used to talk about how fine they thought he was, how he was cute, and how Superman was a good-looking man. I remember the Superman in the
80s. Yeah, yeah.
They used to talk about how he was all that and then some. Well, that's how your Antichrist is going to be. He's going to come on the scene, amen, like the doctor said, the women are going to believe him to be attractive. He may be an attractive man. He's going to be super smart. He's going to know things. He's going to be able to, he ain't going to be as wise as Solomon, but he's going to be wise. He's going to be able to answer questions. He's going to be able to articulate, come
yes,
on the
sir.
Scene.
Yes,
he's going to smooth things on. He's going to be a smooth operator. He's going to be, like, man, this is what we've been looking for, this man here. He's solving problems all over the world. He's going to be just solving problems left and right. It ain't going to be a task too hard for him. Amen. He's going to be able
Amen,
to what?
Brother.
He's going to be able to soothe and he's going to calm the world. He's going to be a wolf in sheep's clothing. Amen.
Amen.
That's what he's going to be. He's going to be a wolf in sheep's clothing. And you think about some of the things that he's going to do. Amen. then you can say, okay, he's going to be the hero. This
hero.
Is the hero. The world is going to admire him. People are going to be naming their newborn children. Now, remember, Christ said, woe unto you that give suck in them days. Remember, so all the babies that were born in the hospital before the rapture, before the gathering together, will be caught up. They'll be gone. But there's going to be babies that are going to be unlucky. They're going to be born right after the rapture. Right after the gathering together. That's going to be sad. They're going to be here. And people are going to be naming their babies. Don't think, oh, man, people are going to be getting tattoos. You remember, folks love these tattoos. They're going to be putting the Antichrist name on their body and everything. Now, remember that the mark of the beast is going to happen. Don't forget.
Come on.
The mark of the beast will happen. So
yes, it will.
This thing with people putting tattoos on their body, I see people got tattoos everywhere on the neck. I see beautiful people, beautiful skin, just ruining themselves, putting all that junk on their body. They got what they call a sleeve, doctor. They get the whole arm tattooed up. It looks like a shirt sleeve. I said, look at this mess. I've seen people come out of tattoo parlors. They got all this stuff pierced in their eye. The Bible tells you not to do these things. Pierced all the skin. Folks got all kind of satanic, wicked, evil, Luciferian stuff going on. I'm like, what kind of mess is it? Folks got stuff all in their skin. I'm talking about I'm talking about stuff looks painful. They have made this figurative looks, this figurative face to look like that. I said, boy, that is some junk. I said, that just goes to show you that the spirit of Antichrist. Let me read. Let me finish reading. St. John 17.
Ahead,
I already read it. I'm sorry, I read St. John 17 and 12. I already read it. But I want to go back over. Let me give you. Here it is. One of my favorite verses. 1 John, the second chapter.
Oh, yeah. You got me. You got me.
Amen, doctor. And you know what? I'm going to throw in a bonus nugget. I'm going to read verses 15 through 17.
Oh, bless your heart.
Then, amen, doctor. Amen. Then I'm going to read verse 18. 1 John, the second chapter, verses 15 through 17. Then I'm going to read verse 18. So I'm going to read 15 through 17 as a bonus. Watch what the writer said. The scripture says, love not the world. What does that mean, love not the world? Hey, let me tell you something. I enjoy this world. I enjoy football, basketball, baseball. I like pecan pie. I like things. I like TV shows. I enjoy this life. I really do. I like nice cars and nice things, jewelry, clothes, you name it, tennis shoes. I like the same. I like vacations. I like to have fun. I like to laugh. I like a lot of things that I guarantee you most of the people in the world like. Amen. I like
Amen.
It too. Amen. But the Bible says to be careful. The Bible says to love not the world. So let me show you the difference. Amen. See, when you love the world, amen, you begin to have the mindset that I'll do anything to get that. See, that's the love. When you begin to do anything and you begin to make it your God, amen. See, if you love money, money becomes your God. See, that's the difference between a believer and a non-believer. The non-believer loves the world. See, it's not my God, amen, to sit there and watch TV all day. I don't come on every single day and watch TV. I don't come on every single day and play the video game. I don't do something all the time that I'm just obsessed with it. I like it. I enjoy it. But I also know that I need to pick up my Bible. I need to pray. I need to put my gospel music on. Amen. I need to give God my time. Amen. I don't love this world like that. Amen. I enjoy some things. I don't love it. I don't watch the basketball, so I may watch a few games, but I'm not obsessed. And I don't get upset when somebody say something to me when my team is losing. I'm not obsessed with things of this world. But you got some folks, if you say certain things to you, they're ready to take you out this world over nothing.
Come on, preacher.
Hey, man. They're ready to take you out if they feel like you disrespect. See, you too caught up and too in love with the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. What are the things? Money, cars. I told you once upon a time, I knew this woman, said she had 200 pair of shoes. I'm like, what you going to do with 200 pair of shoes? You only got one pair of feet. You got 200 pair of shoes. You just, and then she said, some shoes I ain't even wore. I just give the shoes away. I'm like, see, sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with having money and liking nice things. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to tell you right now, if God blessed me with $1 million to $5 million, I wouldn't have no 200 pair of shoes. I don't see the purpose of it. I only got one pair of feet. I can see me having 3 to 5 pair of shoes. Amen. Yeah. That's usually what I keep. Amen. That's just to match my outfits or what I may wear, and just so I can have enough so I won't wear out one pair of shoes so fast. But I don't need, amen, I don't need no 200 pair. I don't even need 20 pair of shoes. What would I do with 200 pair of shoes? Amen. Doctor, if God blessed me with the money right now, I wouldn't waste that money on no shoes, no clothes. It's only one me. I don't need all that stuff. I'm not impressed with jewelry and diamonds. I remember one time, brother, we vacationed in, it was the Bahamas one year. We went to these little islands, some of the Key Islands, whatever they were. I went into this little, it was like a mall-like store. Real nice, real nice, real nice people. Brother, they had some Rolex watches ranging from $35,000 to $100,000. I said, Lord have mercy.
Lord,
who was paying $30,000 to $100,000? Now, don't get me wrong. Like I said, if you got it, you spend, you, obviously, I worked at the bank. I'm tell you, I've seen folks do some pretty ridiculous stuff with their money, but it's your money, you do what you want. I tell you right now, I can go buy me a $25, $50, $100 watch. It's going to do the same thing that $30,000, $100,000 watch is going to do. It's going to tell me the time. That's all a watch really do. It just tell you what time it is. That watch is going to do the exact same thing. And you can say all, you say what you want to. You can go get you a Beamer or a Rolls Royce. Amen. If you go get you a Charger or a Ford or a Nissan, it's gonna do the same thing that $100,000, $200,000 car is gonna do. It's gonna get you from point A to point B. Again, yeah, I like a lot of things in this world that a lot of people like. Trust me, I do. Amen. I like a lot of things. You may like pecan pie. I love pecan pie. I guarantee we like a lot of the same things. But you don't want to become obsessed. You don't want things to become your God to where. Amen. To where you put God. See, I'm hearing people out here say, oh, God, Christ coming back. Man, I ain't got to do this. See, you too in love with the world. If Christ came back right now, I wouldn't be disappointed. I'd be one of the most happiest people. Amen. On this earth. If he come back right now, I won't miss nothing in this world. Trust me, I will. I love my wife and kids. And as far as I know, they are all saved. So we all going to the same place. Amen. I don't love nothing in this world. Just like Lot and his wife. See, the reason why Lot's wife was lost because she looked back. She had an attachment to something back in that city. It was something in that city of Sodom and Gomorrah that she was entangled with. She was indulging in something that caused her to look back. See, I ain't looking back. I'm not looking back at my house. I'm not looking back at my car. I'm not looking back at my clothes, my shoes, my money. I'm not looking back at anything in this life that's going to keep me from heaven, because when the trumpet sounds, baby, I'm looking up. Man, ain't nothing in this world going to keep me from heaven. Amen. Nothing in this world going to keep me from seeing that. I want to see I want to see his face. Amen. You ain't hearing me. You're not hearing me. Amen.
I preach.
Amen. Amen. Now, watch what the scripture said. 1 John 2nd chapter, verse 15. Watch what it says. It says, amen, and it says, if any man love the world, that means if you're looking back, if you're saying, oh, man, I ain't got to do this, if you got a bucket list or a list going, hey, let me tell you something. Just like I said a moment ago, I like a lot of things that people in this world like. Amen. There's some things that I love, but I'm not attached to them like that. Amen. There's a whole lot of things Timmy ain't got to do on his list, a whole lot of things on my list. Timmy ain't gonna get to do, but I guarantee you, when that trumpet sound, I ain't gonna miss it.
Amen.
I ain't gonna miss it. If I ain't got to go on that lavish vacation to Africa, Asia, Europe, South, wherever that ladder is, America. I don't care where that ladder is vacant. It could be on a cruise ship. There's some cruises I ain't been on yet. I would love to go on. But I'm going to tell you right now, that Trump or something, I ain't looking back. I guarantee you,
right.
God, like Paul said, I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, nor has it entered into the minds of men what God has for them that love him.
Yeah.
Meaning that there's something in heaven that's better than your house. There's something in heaven that's better than your car. There's something in heaven that's better than your clothes, your jewelry, your money, your vacations, the money you got in the bank. All your dreams and desires on this planet is nothing. It's dust and lint compared to what's in heaven.
Yeah.
I guarantee you.
Amen.
I guarantee you. There is nothing on this earth that can pray. When I say nothing, nothing. Satan has sold people on trinkets and bubble gum. That's what he sold people on.
Yeah.
I remember when we was a kid, they used to give you like these little trinkets as a kid, little old plastic gifts. Basically, I call it junk. They give you this junk thing they really doing. So I said, see, I was thinking to myself, Doc, I remember I was on a job as an adult, and I remember when they kind of cut out bonuses. And the new company that took over when I used to work for this company, it was a major bank that took over. And instead of giving us money for compensation, they started giving us stuff like we can win, like junk, basically.
Yeah,
I don't want no T-shirts. And I got, if I want clothes, I can go buy my own clothes. Give me the money, I can buy me the junk y'all give.
Yeah.
I don't want that stuff. But see, that's how the devil do you. The devil will get these folks to sell their soul for trinkets. Oh, they think they doing something because they got some diamonds on their neck for $1 million or $100,000.
Yeah.
They think they doing something because they drive $100,000 to $1 million car and their house are over $1 million. You think you're doing. The devil has got you to sell something that's far more precious than silver and gold on this planet. That's your soul. Your soul is worth more to you than anything in existence in this life. You have the ability to supersede. You ain't hearing what I'm saying tonight. You ain't going to get this in your everyday church. You have the ability to supersede your abilities on this earth. Oh, see, I'm on a whole nother level now. You're going to supersede your ability. In other words, Christ is going to give you stuff. You're going to be able to see through walls. You're going to be able to hear through the universe. You're going to be able to do so many different things. Your power is going to be so great when you leave, when he elevates you up. See, he's not calling you up for real. He's calling you to a higher level. I'm like, how do people not want that? How do people not want anything to do with what God has for them in the next life, that you're going to lower your standards and go down into hell and then ultimately be cast into the lake of fire with some trinkets on this earth? Because somebody offered you $25 or $50 million, you say, oh, I got money there, but let you die. That the Bible said, thou fool, this night your soul's required. You better go back and read it in Matthew. The wealthy man said, he said, I will say to myself, so I will store up in my storehouse for he thought he had it going on, thought he was wealthy. He said, I'm going to store up. And the Bible said, thou fool, this night. See, that's what you are. I'm going to tell you what the Bible said about you. You a fool if you sit here and think. Just also, and I look, you know what that scripture remind me of, Doctor? It reminds me of all these famous people, these rappers and artists and athletes, these folks who are selling their soul, and the next day they did. In fact, there was a guy that just recently passed away that was very popular, and as soon as he shot up to become popular, he died. And one of my kids said something about, does a reference to the age that he died at, that it has something to do with him selling his soul. I said, thou fool. I'm just telling you what the Bible is. The Bible said, thou fool, this night thy soul is required. Don't you know that the devil's doing it all over the world? He's not only doing it on a high level where everybody knows people are fine. He's doing it on a low. There are people on a low level, something that you'll never hear about. They selling their soul. They probably got their business off the ground. They probably hit $1 million. There'll be people become millionaires all around the world. You'll never hear about it. They just sold their soul.
That's right.
And the next night, their soul was snuffed out of their body. The devil's just steady taking them out. I'm telling you what's about to hit this planet. The devil is ready. He ready to take soul. See, y'all missing the point. The soul, the devil is mad as hell.
Oh, yes, he is.
What he wants to do, he ready to take souls out of it. And the ones that rejected Christ, he said, okay. He's sitting there rubbing his hands again. Okay, you going to reject Christ? I can't wait to snuff y'all out by the millions. Souls going to be dropping into hell. In the millions. That's what he wants. In the millions. And ultimately in the billions over a seven-year period. There's going to be so many bodies everywhere on this planet, they ain't going to be able to bury them fast enough.
Yeah, no.
That's what he's waiting for. That's what he's waiting for.
That's what he's doing.
Because you just look at people and you just shake your head. I said, Lord, have mercy. They don't know, do they? They don't know.
They don't know.
And it's not that ain't nobody told them. It's just that they just straight flat out rejecting God. Don't you know that we're in the age where a man has fallen away? They don't want nothing to do with Christ? Let me read this to you real quick. I'm going to get ready to turn over to the brother. Let me finish reading.
Go ahead, brother.
It says, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you looking back, you're going to be lost just like Lot's wife. You ain't saved. I'm going to tell you right now. If you looking back, talking about, man, I ain't got to go that big. I ain't got to buy them new Jordans, man. You're going to be right here when the trumpet sound. If you are attached to this life, I'm not attached to this life like that. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. Don't you know, you got folks that are talking about, I ain't got to sleep with this many women. I ain't got to sleep with this many men. I want to do this. I want to do that. I ain't got to do this. I ain't got to do that. Man, you're going to miss heaven and hit hell trying to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You better let that stuff go. The Bible says it's called the pride of life. And we know about pride. Pride is what caused Lucifer to fall. Verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. See, all this going to pass away. This world, this earth, all the stuff in there that you love so dearly, it's going to pass away. The lust of the world, it's going to all be it's going to be just a memory. It's going to be like a blink of an eye. It's going to be gone.
Gone.
He that do the will of God abideth forever. Yeah. See, only what you do for Christ will last for all eternity. Watch what verse 18 say. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists. Okay. Whereby we know that it is the last time. I will say right now, by the time that we live in today, that the Antichrist is about to come on the scene. You better wake up and smell the coffee. I'm going to tell you right now. Like the Bible said, let no man deceive. And I got to read this real quick before I give it to the brother.
Go ahead.
Watch this. Watch what it said. Watch what it said. Let's see if I can find it. See if I can find it, brother. Amen. I may have lost. I may have to come back to it. Amen. It's a scripture that said, let no man deceive you. Amen. I think it's over in 1 Timothy. I'm going to find it. I got it written down, but I'm going to find it. But I'm going to go ahead and read this right here. Let me see if I can find this scripture, brother. Amen. If I can't find it, I'm going to go ahead and try to break it down and explain it to you. I said that to say this. Because so many people are so attached to their pastors that it's going to be a lot of people going to let their pastor lead them to hell. I got to say it. Don't be so caught up to your pastor, amen, that you're not asking questions. If you're not asking questions about, hey, pastor, I heard this man say something about Christ could possibly be returning soon, even as soon as this year. And if your pastor ain't got no knowledge of that, and he ain't asking questions about some of the things, he don't know nothing about eschatology and Revelation.
Come on.
I'm just going to be real with you. You need to run. You need to get away from that church. Because your pastor should have some knowledge about the things that's going on in this world, he definitely should have some Bible knowledge about Revelation. But see, folks want a dodge Revelation. brother, look, folks want a dodge Revelation like they're playing dodgeball. They don't want them to do it. I ain't talking about people in the world. I'm talking about in the pulpit. We're not talking about the country. We're talking about in the pulpit. As long as we've been preaching this now, hey, you better get up on this. It's time. It's time to stop dodging Revelation. Hey, we live in 2022, like Daniel prophesied about 2,600 years ago. He said, what did Daniel say? He said, and knowledge shall run to it. He said, knowledge shall increase. And man will go to and fro. Knowledge is increased. You have access to the internet. You have access to research stuff and get books. You go on Amazon and order you some books about Revelation. You can study them. Yeah. It's time to stop dodging Revelation.
Get up
on this and get into Revelation and learn about what's going on and what's about to hit this planet.
It happens.
Amen. It ain't no more excuses for your pals. They quit talking about fish fries and anniversaries and pastor wife. We pass all that now.
The church ain't coming back.
Some of y'all barely had two members. The church ain't coming back.
No.
Amen. Go ahead and start teaching the people. Yeah. It don't matter if you got 10, 20, 100. Go ahead and start teaching them about Revelation. Because God is laying us on our spirit of heaven, it's time for us to let this time out. We are in the last church. We are in the Laodicean church. And, bro, I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm going to say this real quick. We're in the last church.
I got something for you.
Amen. We're in the last church. Amen. So go ahead and preach that word. Go ahead, Doctor.
All right. 2 Thessalonians 2:2-3. Let no man deceive you by for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This is what's getting ready to happen. We're living in the apostate age where the church has fell away from what? They have fell away from the cross. You know what I say? Fell away from the blood. Fell away from the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Fell away from the suffering of Jesus Christ for our sins. And the world is saying, we really don't need no sacrifice for our sins. If we just be good, look good, talk good, walk good, we can make it to heaven. But to tell me, the Bible says, no man, good God Almighty, no man can come to God except by Jesus Christ. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You see, the devil wants to do one thing. He wants to get rid of the cross, but he can't get rid of the cross because the cross is God's foundation. The cross is where Jesus Christ, amen, identify himself to let the world know that I'm God Almighty in the flesh. Woo! God said, I'm the only one that's able to bring redemption to the world. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. So when the Antichrist comes, he's going to come saying he is Jesus Christ, and the world will receive him because of one reason. Listen what he said. He said, I do not require a sacrifice. I do not require for you to repent. I do not require for you to live in holiness. I do not require for you to love one another. I do require for you to do one thing. I do require to you, after I've been resurrected from the dead in the middle of the tribulation period, I require for that you will worship me and that I will become God Almighty through the Lucifer. Listen to what I'm saying now. The Lucifer fall. Where's the Lucifer fall at? The Lucifer fall is found in the 12th chapter of Revelation when Lucifer, devil, the red dragon, the old Beelzebub, will be cast out of heaven. Listen. The fall of Lucifer, he's going to be coming out of the first and second heaven. TV, radio, internet, all this modern technology have made movies on top of movies on top of movies about an invasion from outer space. This invasion is not alien. They're not aliens. They are demons. And they are riding in UFOs. They are riding in the heavenly vehicles that fell from heaven when they came down here, when God kicked one-third. You hear what I said? One-third of the angelic beings became demons, became devils, became demigods, became wicked, malignant spirits that's ripping the flesh of man apart. Man, the devil is ripping the earth apart. And got human mankind just like they was in the days of Noah when the angels came down and cohabitated with the human race and they begot Nephilim. This was an intruding on to help the Antichrist manifest himself in the last days. Now all the demons are waiting. They're waiting. They're looking for the Antichrist to come. The Antichrist cannot come. Oh, listen to me, my loved ones. I love y'all out there. I love you through Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that we love you. Brother Tim, we love you. Amen. And we'll study the Word of God. We're praying over the Word of God. We're fasting over the Word of God to get this information to you. This man that's coming on is not Jesus Christ. He don't have no nail print. He ain't suffered for nobody. The only suffering that he will have and will suffer, he will be assassinated. Listen to what I'm saying. I didn't read this out no funny book. I didn't go to Playboy to read it. I didn't go to Penthouse to read it. I didn't go to Spiegel Catalog to read it. I didn't go to Jet Magazine. I didn't go to no man-made written article to get this information. I got the information that we are talking about from the Word of the Living God. And the Bible says whatever, let it be written. And you can, some people can be stubborn and self-willed, thinking they can defy God and rebel against God. And the reason why, because the living for God, it requires holiness. It requires repentance. It requires forgiveness. It requires a redemption plan to redeem your soul by what? By the blood of Jesus Christ, the only atonement that God has for the world to come back to him. And the world is saying, I got my own homemade religion. Homemade religion made down in the corner of your basement. Homemade religion made at your church house. Because there's a lot of churches today got their own way of trying to reach God. They said, if I be good and pay my tithes and offerings and preach the Christian right and go to Bible study and I can do this, you know, and yet still I can still try to live like the world, or try to live like Christ and living like the devil. Because to tell me the only way that you can be condemned, listen to what I'm saying. The only way you can be damned to go to hell is this. Reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and do not repent of your sin and confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The Bible said, thou shalt be saved. S-A-V-E-D. It didn't say to church. I ain't got nothing against going to church. I've been going to church all my life.
Amen.
When I couldn't walk, my mama took me to church. And when I could walk, she caught my hand on Sunday morning and took me to church. And when she could let my hand go, I still went to church. I went to church when I was 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Oh, man, I have to count to 77. I'm still going to church. But just because I've been going to church almost practically 77 years, that don't mean I'm going to heaven. If I haven't accepted Jesus Christ through my lifetime and repent of my sins and walk in righteousness and confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, guess what? I'll bust hell wide open. And there's a lot of people been going to church for years and years. Good folks that, are really trying to live a holy life, but they haven't received Christ in their life. And the Bible said, well, a lot of people say, well, how do you know you've been saved? I've been speaking in tongues. I've been shouting and jumping. I've been running up and down the aisle. I can play the piano. I can sing in the choir. I pay my tithes and all, but I wear good clothes at church. Man, I be looking sharp, man. I be doing good things. And let me tell you something. You still can buzz hair wide open because you haven't been low-down, dirty, conniving, slickeroo sin that you have done against God and you haven't repented of it. And repent means to be broken with a contrite spirit because you have sinned against a holy God, a God that requires holiness. The Bible said, follow peace with all men and holiness without. Well, if you don't have it, your man shall see the Lord. Some people say, I'm going to heaven and don't know nothing about holiness because holiness is not right. Stop drinking. Mind, stop cheating. It ain't that. That ain't holiness. That's just saying that I'm trying to keep my flesh untoned. I don't do bad things. Sanctification. Holiness can come only by what? The blood of Jesus Christ. Uh-oh. That busts Satan's bubble. Because some folks trying to work their way to hell. And this is what the Antichrist requires for you to do. He only requires for you to do one thing in the middle of the tribulation. And guess what that is? That's the mark of the beast. He says if you can't receive the mark of the beast, you won't be able to buy and sell. I don't care if you're a liar, cheat, backbiter. I don't care what condition your soul is in. The only thing I'm required for you to do to become worshipers of me is receive the mark of the beast. Where is the mark of the beast? The mark of the beast has already been established today. They got it in Wyoming. They're putting computer chips in people. Wake up, church.
Come on, man.
Wake up. Wake up, deacon. Wake up, sister in the choir. I'm talking about church folks. You know, church folks are slick. They think they slick. But you can't get out of God's clutches until you come on and repent of your sins. You doing a whole lot of things under the cover, and you think nobody can see it. But God got an all-seeing eye. He can see through it. One thing he don't like to look up on is sin. And when he sees sin, he's got to squinch his eye because he hates sin. And if your soul have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you have not been redeemed, if you have not been restored by the power and the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ, guess what? God says, my wrath is up on you. And the Antichrist does not preach that. The Antichrist preaches. You know what he preaches? Motivation speeches. Yeah. Don't preach about the blood. Don't preach about the cross. Don't preach about the resurrection. Don't preach about how Jesus Christ came up out of the grave on the third. Don't preach about that. No. Preach motivation speeches. Get up there and talk your yang and your tang and make the people feel good. Wash yourself and fan your coat all over the place and think people are falling down under the power of the Holy Spirit. Speak in all the tongues that you can think of because tongues don't save you. The Bible said, except a man repent. Jesus Christ said, except a man repent, you shall likewise perish. And the world is saying, and the Antichrist is saying, come on, everybody. Don't worry about the blood of Jesus Christ. Right. Don't even give it a second thought. Because the world said, I can't understand how in the world you can be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, how in the world can you live without a blood system? Can you live without a blood system? No, you can't live without a blood system. 2.5 gallons of blood in your body, and you take half of that out, you'll die. You can't live without blood. And we're talking about physical blood. We're talking about the natural blood. We're talking about this blood that gives you the natural life, the living, the physical life. But in order for you to enter the kingdom of God, you are dead according to the spiritual life. You are dead without the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only way you can be transformed and given life to, you've got to have a blood transfusion. And Jesus Christ is the only man on the planet, been on the planet, went back to heaven, coming back again. He's the only one that's capable enough to give you a blood transfusion. And when you receive that blood transfusion, you receive divine life through the blood by the Holy Ghost. when the Holy Ghost comes into your life, you can sing that song like them old hymn knowledges used to sing. There is a fountain filled with blood.
Amen.
That flows if the sinner, good God Almighty, look at what I'm trying to tell you. If the sinner falls beneath the flow, he'll lose all his guilty stain. Lord have mercy. The only way you can get that guilt of sin from you, the only way you can look up to the heavens and look God face to face in the eye and say, thank you, Jesus, I've been washed in the blood. You've got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. The Antichrist is here today. Where is he coming from? According to the Bible, in the scriptures of Daniel, in the scriptures of Thessalonians, in the scriptures of Revelation, but basically in the scriptures of Daniel. Daniel said, I saw a dream, and when I saw this dream, I saw some horns. I saw some horns, and these horns are located in Europe. These horns came from Europe. Europe, Western Europe, and this horn had eyes that spoke great things against the Most High. You'll read that in the seventh chapter of the book. You spend that whole chapter in there, and it'll tell you about 10 horns. 10 horns. 10 horns represent NATO. Woo! NATO. European Common Market. The European Union. These 10 toes represent the 10 European Common Markets. And then Daniel said, wait a minute. I see another little horn. And he said, I had to switch from toes to horn. After I switched from toes to horn, I saw one little horn, And it rose up amongst the 10 European common market nations. And it did that in 1986. Oh, my God. Look at here. Look at here. Look at here. This is God's word. Brother Bazard ain't talking off the top of my neck or on the side of my neck. I'm talking from the word of God. I didn't make up this. I didn't figure this out, but by the word of God, it is, I saw a little horn. And in this horn, I saw 2 eyes. And it had a mouth that spoke great things against the Most High. Who is that? That's the Antichrist. That's the mark of the beast. That's the blasphemer found in the book of Revelation, where he blasphemed God and blasphemed the saints of the world during the tribulation period. He hates God. And this Antichrist said it's going to come up out of the 11th horn. Now listen to what I'm saying, preacher. Listen to what I'm saying, deacons. Listen to what I'm saying, teenager. Listen to what I'm saying, everybody that's listening to me out there. Let me tell you, the horn is here. The horn is in. Not Lena horn, but the horn that Daniel spoke of. And this horn is alive today, and he's 54 years old, and he's coming from the 11th country that will come up in the midst of the 10 other horns that's in Western Europe, which is NATO, and NATO now is at war against Russia. Russia is trying to tell all the nations over there, don't join NATO. Please don't join NATO. If you do, we're going to do something to you. And NATO said, we're going to try to stand tall. But let me tell you, out of NATO is coming the little horn. What country? Oh, my God. My God, my God. What country is coming up that came up as the little horn? Another country that came into the 10 European common market horns is Spain. Spain is the 11th horn. And out of Spain will come a king, a prince, a 4-star general, a 5-star general, a man that can speak 10 different languages, stand at 6 foot, got 7 letters in his name with 6 letters, and his whole full name is 3 names, and each name has 6 letters in the name, and his name is King Felipe. You hear what I said? I'll say it again, and I'll say it again, and the devil don't like it. The devil say I'm crazy. He said, you losing your mind. That's not him. I'm going to tell you, well, if you want to wait here, if you want to wait here and see that he it's really him, keep on fooling around. Keep on fooling around.
Right.
Keep on telling yourself, I can make it like I got it. No, you can't make it without Jesus Christ. You can't make it on your own. Your mama can't make it. Your daddy can't make it. Even your dog and cat can't make it without Jesus Christ. If a cat, if it was a cat heaven, course, a lot of people say animals going to be in heaven. Yes, they're going to be in heaven. But anyway, if a cat had a soul and a spirit like us, he would require to be saved just like the human race. But let me tell you, the human race is only one that's made in the likeness and the image of God. This Antichrist is alive today. And guess what? He's sitting in the starting blocks. He's down in the starting position. And the church don't even know anything about it because the preachers are not preaching just like John told them, right to the seven churches of Asia Minor and tell the church from the first chapter of Revelation to the 22nd chapter of the Revelation, right to the seven churches of Asia Minor and tell the church to tell the world this is what's getting ready to happen on the planet. Tell the church about the Antichrist. Tell the church about the red horse. He's riding in the sixth chapter of Revelation. Tell the church about the black horse that represents famine in Revelation. Tell the church about the pale, sick-looking horse that represents the pestilence that's going to fall up on the earth. These four horses is getting ready to ride, but they can't ride.
Amen.
Good God Almighty. They can't ride until something happens. Oh, my God. What's got to happen, Brother Bazaar? Could you tell me? Yes, I can tell you. I can tell you the only thing that's holding back these horses from riding now is what? The trumpets. The trumpets. The trumpets of the living God. Apostle Paul wrote down in the second chapter of first chapter of Thessalonians about the fourth verse. He said, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangels. And the what? The dead. Lord have mercy. The dead in who? The dead in Christ. Those that died in Christ. Those that were redeemed in Christ. Those that were baptized with the Holy Ghost in Christ. Those that confessed their faults and confessed their sins to Jesus Christ. Those that believe in the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and gave their life to Christ. Guess what? They're going to get up. Good God Almighty. They're going to get up and they're going to change from this old mortal body. And
yes,
we,
sir.
Good God Almighty, Brother Bazaar is in that number. Hallelujah. And I know the
yes,
Lord
sir.
Know who I live at. I live on 145 Murder Street, Northeast Warren, Ohio. And I already got my appointments already signed up. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My name is written in the blood. My name is being claimed by Jesus Christ. My name will be at the great judgment seat of Bema Seat, where the saints of God will be judged. And listen to what I'm saying. After the rapture of the church, all the babies, all
mm-hmm.
those that have not been aged of accountability,
mm-hmm.
all the saints that are saved, all those that
yeah.
have been in the asylum that are saved, all those that have been
yeah.
in the prison saved,
yeah.
all those
come on,
that good God Almighty, everybody going around here, you know, they live in the high class society. They wear brand new suits to church every Sunday. They wear their patent leather shoes. They get in their fine Escalade Cadillac. They got their cigars and cigarettes. They got their wind. I'm talking about church folks. I'm talking about people who got the form of godliness, but they ain't got no power. I mean the power of
mm-hmm.
holiness. Power of justification, the power of righteousness. They ain't got nothing. They just poor and rich and in materialistic things, but they poor in this
mm-hmm.
and Laodicea church. He said you need a hot or cold. You're lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm, I'm gonna regurgitate you out of my mouth. Because
yes.
Jesus I didn't say it. He said, you make me sick. You're calling on my name, but you don't know me. You're trying to say my name, but you don't hear me. You're trying to tell somebody that you know me and a partner of the sin, and you've been lying ever since you told somebody. You've been cheating on your husband and your wife. You're teenagers, you think
Amen.
You know everything. But let me tell you, I don't care if you do have a college education. I don't care if you're white
Amen.
Or black or young. A peak or ugly or pretty, let me tell
yeah.
you, you got to be boned again. And if you're not boned again, you're going to have to face the Antichrist. And this man ain't playing with you. This man
That's
is
right.
real. This man is real. If I could get a jet plane, I'll take you over there and fly you to Madrid, Spain. to Madrid, Spain, and take you to the castle where he's staying. I could show you his wife. I could show you his two children. And he belongs to what? He belongs to every secret order that's on the face of this earth right now. He comes from the dark side. He's a dark spirit. He's got a crooked hand. His left hand is crooked, and he got a one eye. He only can see out of one eye. And that's why people put up the pyramid. And they put one patch over their eye and let the right eye look out. Well, this man got a dark eye. That means dark eye means spiritually he's dark. He's wicked. And he's handsome. Woo! He's the handsomest man. I don't know. I don't go around talking about man how cute they are because I'm not into that. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you how cute a woman is, but I ain't going to tell you how cute a man is. I don't. My wrist is straight. I ain't got no broken wrist nowhere. Good God Almighty. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Jesus didn't have no broken wrist. He didn't go around in the room of switching. He didn't go around in there touching men. He was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. He didn't come down here to pray with folks. And so many people talking about they know Jesus Christ and they're playing around big faggot, yakky-tacky, half-stepping. You're trying to carry the name of Jesus and living in misery and taking the people to hell. A lot of preachers taking a lot of folks out. And it's going to be full. Hell is going to be full of false, phony, jack-leg preachers that's not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They just yim-yamming. But the Antichrist is going to be the ultimate plan of Satan to bring the last entity. Because the Antichrist is going to become incarnated. Listen to what I'm saying. Incarnated. Going to be the raw devil. The devil himself. Infill this Antichrist. Because the Antichrist in the middle of the tribulation period will be assassinated on this earth.
That's right.
Of every internet that you can pull out. Are you talking about during the tribulation period, the internet, the Instagram, the YouTube, the Facebook? Good God Almighty. People ain't going to have no time to be gossiping because when the Antichrist comes, he's going to take control of the what? The media and the world is going to see this man. And I'm going to ad-lib it for you a little bit. I know he ain't coming riding on a white horse. That's just a symbolic. Amen. Because number one, a white horse riding through the sky, that would scare a lot of people. They would say, oh, is that Jesus Christ on the white horse? No, that's not Jesus Christ. That's the Antichrist. But he's got going to come on a horse. A horse is a symbolic of conquering. A horse is a symbolic of power. But the Antichrist, I believe, this is me talking now, I believe he's going to come right on in Jerusalem, which I know he's going to rule out of Jerusalem. He's going to come in Jerusalem and announce to the Jewish people that he is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the one that's coming from heaven at the end of the tribulation period. This is not the true Christ, but the world has been deceived in believing that this is the true Christ. When he comes riding, I believe he's going to be dressed up in a white uniform. And I've seen him in the Admiral's uniform, all white. I haven't seen him ride in a Cadillac or a limousine yet, but I believe the limousine is going to be white. He's going to step out of that limousine in Jerusalem. Ooh, hallelujah. Mm. He's coming from Spain to Jerusalem because Spain and Jerusalem are connected together. You know why? To make a long story short, Spain is a descendant of Esau. Huh? And Israel is a descendant from Jacob. And Jacob and Esau were brothers in the same womb that Rebekah bore forth two sons, and Jacob caught a hold of Esau, which was Spanish. And Jacob was the one that Israel descended from. So these are brothers. And his own brother is going to do the same thing that Esau did to Jacob in the Old Testament. And Jeremiah calls it what? He calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. It is going to be descendants of the Latin Latinos and Mexicans or Spanish people. And God said, I'm going to intermingle Israel because there are such people known as Spanish Jews that intermingled with the Jewish people while they was in what? Bondage in the what? They was in bondage during the Babylonian captivity and they were spread abroad. The Antichrist will go and announce himself on what? International television. It will be on every television set in the world. Y'all don't get an understanding what the world is coming to is messed up, sinful. People cursing God, lying on God, church folks half-stepping, preachers half-talking the word of God. Won't preach on Revelation for nothing. But let me tell you something, they're going to answer for it because God told the churches to write to the seven churches and tell the world.
Come on.
How close are we? Man, we're so close. Man, it's so close. It's as close as the skin on my body. It's more closer than the blood running through my veins. I'm going to spend this time, next 10 minutes, to break it down for you. And then I want Brother Jackson to have an altar call. Let me tell you, Brother Bazaar ain't lying to you. And Brother Timothy Jackson not lying to you. How close are we? We're so close that I can't express and go back, but so far to tell you how close we are. Now listen. 6,000 years are up. It's gone. It's gone. 2029. It's up. That's 6,000 years right there. Okay? 6,000 years. There's another 7 years got to come before 2029. If 2029 is 6,000 years, and we got 7 years of tribulation, you take 7 years and add it on to 2022, and you get 2029. So we only got 7 years before 2029. 2029 says that the rapture has to happen this year. Uh-oh. You're a predictor. No, I ain't predicting nothing. I don't have no right to predict it. And now I don't have no right to say he's going to come September the 18th, 2022 at 6 o'clock. I don't know. Jesus Christ said no man knows the hour or the day, not even the Son knows nothing but the Father. But he says the sign and the season, check it out. Check it out.
Amen.
What are the Jews doing right now? What they start doing? They start doing building the temple. May the 14th, listen to this, May the 14th, 2022, just a few days ago, they celebrated the 71st birthday of the Jewish people. The Jews say, now it's time to build the temple. They got to build the temple for who? Second Thessalonians said, what? There's a time coming when the Antichrist going to set in the temple. What temple? The temple that the Jews are working on right now. How long will it take them to build it? Some say 6 months. Some say a year. Some say a year and a half. But they tell me they got all the articles, all the priesthood, all the Levitical priesthood. They got the Ark of the Covenant. They getting ready for to get the two heifers to offer a sacrifice. And they say, when we get that, the Antichrist has to arrive. Well, he has arrived, but he hasn't came on the scene. He cannot come on the scene. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. He cannot come on the scene until Gabriel, until Michael, until Christ himself blows the trumpet. When he blows the trumpet, the church of the living God, the church from around the world, everywhere, every born-again believer, whatever continent they own, whatever nationality they are, if they've been born again, they're going to be caught up in the middle of the air and meet the Lord in the air, and then the Antichrist will come. He will come on a peaceful platform. He will come on talking sweet stuff. He will explain what happened to the rapture. He will tell the world this UFO incident. These UFOs came down and took all these people away, these so-called saints. God took them, the UFO took them to deceive the rest of the world in believing that God ain't got nothing to do with the rapture. But God has a man, he's a main one that's going to rapture the church up and all those that are left. Now listen, all those that are left will face Antichrist. What is an Antichrist? God, I'll tell you what an Antichrist is. An Antichrist is any individual person. Listen to me. Any individual person that deny and reject that God was manifested in the flesh. You're Antichrist. And the Bible says there are many Antichrists. And there are many Antichrists in the world. And there are some in some churches. And there's some in the occult. There's some in the, there's a whole bunch of them in the Illuminati. And all the secret societies. Antichrist. All man-made religion, Antichrist. Because they do not believe God Almighty. You hear what I said? They don't believe that God Almighty actually was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wrapped in swaddling clothes, not by the will of man, not by flesh and blood, but by the will of God. God became flesh and walked among us, and he beheld the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, and he died. Hallelujah. Died for you, for Brother Bazaar's low-down sins that I've done, the lying that I've done, the backbiting that I've done. He died for that. And I tell you what, he nailed it on the cross for me. Jesus Christ knew no sin, but he became what? A sin offering. And I still said, God, when he died, they beat him to a pulp. They beat him until heaven. Listen to what I'm saying. They could almost not recognize who he was. The human race looked at him and said, oh, my God, how could somebody take that beating for what? You. You and you. Me. Your mama, your daddy, your sister, your enemy. He died, took my place on Calvary's cross. My friends, come on now. Come on, let's be reasonable. Don't you think that you're worthy enough to go to heaven without accepting Jesus Christ? If you reject him, you got to pay for your own sins. You got to pay for your own unrighteousness. And the Bible says, this is what the Bible says, wages of sin is death, separation from God forever, ever, and ever, and ever. I can't get enough evers. I never run out of ever. It's forever and out of darkness, where there would be gnashing and gashing of teeth. Only thing that you can go to hell with, you can go to hell with your mouth, you go to hell with your ears, you go to hell with your eyeballs. You go to hell with your smelling, and you go to hell with your taste, and you're going to go to hell with your memory. Your memory will be with you forever in hell. And you won't be able to erase the time that you could have came to Jesus Christ. If you miss heaven, you're going to go to hell, but you're going to remember the times you could have came to Christ and received salvation. And you didn't. You're going to remember that for eternity. Oh, yeah. You ain't going to be blind in hell. Your future will always be for you. You will have a vision that you can see the time you could have come to Jesus Christ. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If you have the love of the world so wrapped up in you and in your mind and in your heart, and you've got yourself set on the world, the love of the Father is in you. If you love J.C. and all these other Z, all this old rock music, you love Greenleaf, you love Saints and Sinners, you love all them TV programs, you love all them horror programs, you love baseball, football, you love sex orgies, you love all that stuff, you love the clowns, you love to tell jokes, you love to mock God. If you got all that stuff in you, I guarantee you, you're going to remember it in hell. Don't come to Jesus now. Don't go. Me and brother been praying. Brother Jackson been praying. We've been trying to keep up to date what's going on in the world. And now, the next event, and I'm going to give it to the brother. Amen. The next big thing that's happening, and God is working on now. He's working on the 38 and 39th chapter of Ezekiel. That's Gog and Magog. That's the next great event that's going to happen this year. There's going to be an invasion from the north, which is Russia, Moscow. Putin is the red horse in Revelation. That's right there. That's it. That's him. That's him right now. You seen Pete, he ain't on no red horse. No, he ain't on no red horse. But he is represented by red horse because he's going to have a bloody war coming up. A bloody war. Bloody war so bad and so awesome and so terrifying that God himself is going to shake the whole earth. That every human, that's what I'm saying. This is God's word. And if I'm lying, I'm getting ready. If I'm lying, I'm dying. And I know I ain't lying because God's word is true.
Amen.
He's going to shake the whole world. And by him shaking the whole world, the whole world, the Jewish nation and the nations of the Gentiles are going to say, oh, my God, there is a God. There is a God.
Amen.
Oh, the earth is going to look like jello. And the world is going to say, oh. And the Antichrist is going to go against Russia, but the Antichrist won't be able to do nothing, and America won't be able to do nothing. Because Russia is going to have the largest army in the world by the time September. The largest army will be mustered up by five nations, including other nations that were not named, are going to link up with Russia, and they're going to come down from the northern parts of what? Moscow. It's going to be five nations that will muster. Ethiopia got an army. Libya got an army. We got Sudan got an army. We got Turkey got an army. We got these nations that's shaking hands with Putin because Putin is a bloodthirsty murderer. And God is going to deal with his armies on the top of the Mount Israel. And America is going to stand on the side and look and say, oh, is that what y'all come to do? You come to come in and make spoil of Israel. Because supplies. They need food. They need cattle. Potash. They need all this material thing to survive. And Israel got it all. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't you mess with them Jews. You better leave them Jews alone. I ain't playing with you. You can talk about them and run them down, but them Jews is God's apple of his eye. Those are his jewels. You know why? Because Abraham brought on in the man that came down on it. He brought Jesus Christ all the way down at the Bethlehem station. And Mary dropped him off. Hallelujah. And laid him in a cradle. Oh.
Amen.
And twaddling clothes, death clothes. He said, is this the one? I hear the wise men. And I'm going to give it to the brother, but this is getting good. The wise men from the east said, and they got on their camels, and they rode by following the star. And when they saw the star, they said, that's the one that will save the world. That's the one that will suffer and die. That's the one. Good God Almighty. And when Christ comes, the world will be empty of all righteous people. And I'm closing. I want the brother to open up the altar. Don't be left here after the rapture. The rapture's coming this year. I don't know what time in September, because September is a month in which there are three other feast days, three other feast days to be fulfilled. And that's Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Yom Kippur, and Feast of Tabernacles. This is it. So what I'm trying to convince you, don't delay salvation. Don't delay.
Amen.
Come to Christ. Please come to Christ. And I want you to know that we love you out there. Brother Bazaar, man, I'm telling you, the love of God is in me so much, I just love everybody I see. I just want to tell everybody, Jesus Christ, amen. If you miss Jesus Christ, you're missing everything that you were born for. And we were born, and I'm going to give it to the brother right now, we were born to live with God and his son forever. That's what we're born for. And the world is saying, I don't want that crap. I want to die and go to hell and burn forever. That's what they're saying. You need to come to Jesus Christ tonight. Brother, go ahead and open that altar up for me. Amen.
Amen. Pretty much. Amen. Good word, doctor. Amen. Yeah. That was some pretty strong words. Amen. The brother said, amen. Pretty much what they said is they want to go to hell. Pretty much. Amen. That's what they said. Amen. You know, when you reject God and Christ, God has given everybody that's been born on this earth knowledge to know that he's real and that he exists. Amen. It's in us. It's in our DNA. He implanted in your DNA structure to let you know that he's real, that he exists. God ain't got to come down from heaven and show you him and just to prove you. Who are you that God should come down and prove to you that he's real? I can look at the birds and the bees. Amen. The blue sky, the moon, the sun, and the stars to know that there's a God. Ain't that crazy? Amen. I know it got something to get up there by itself. Ain't no explosion caused that. Amen. Like I told y'all you can take a bomb and put it in the building. Amen. I promise you in a billion years, them buildings won't be standing. They're going to be still ashes and rubble. Amen. That's just the truth. Amen. The devil has used kindergarten stuff. Foolishness. Ignorance. Wickedness to fool man. And I'm just so surprised and shocked that people are falling for Satan's wickedness and evilness. Amen. Nothing brilliant.
Amen,
he's done nothing brilliant. Amen. Has he, doctor? He ain't done nothing brilliant. He ain't did nothing brilliant to convince me that God ain't real.
Come on, preacher.
Amen.
He
ain't showed us something that's out of this world to convince me that God ain't real. He took something so simple and stupid as an explosion, a bang theory, to say that there is no God, that the universe just came into existence. What sense does that make? Man, the last time I've seen something explode, it's still in the same state. You watch a car explode, and you think 100 years from now that car's going to be back to normal? No. The devil is alive.
No.
Amen.
No.
Amen. But I want to share with you all, amen, this saying.
Yeah.
Because I want you all to know how secure you are in Christ. That God loves you with the warmth of love, that he's waiting on you. He can't wait to see you. He can't wait to be with you. You know, brother, what troubles me sometimes is when I hear preachers in church, and this is very disturbing, and when they is when they try to make God distant from man, as if God is going to, like God don't want us in heaven or God don't want them. No, God can't wait to see you. Christ wait to embrace you. God can't wait till you are right before his throne. He wants you in heaven. God God loves you. He longs for you to be with him, and I long to be with him, my heavenly Father. He can't wait to see you in heaven. Amen. Judgment is not going to be that critical. Amen. Because the Bible says that there is no condemnation. Some pastors try to make it seem like, well, if you can't live right here on earth, how are you going to live right in heaven? First of all, Paul said you're going to get a brand new body. So you don't have to worry about living in heaven, Father. Because, see, you're right. This body right now can't live in heaven. This body is corruptible. He's going to give you a body that's incorruptible. And once you get that heavenly body, you'll be able to serve God and live before God all eternity with no sin and righteousness. Amen. I want you. Amen. You better speak it, doctor. Amen.
Come on.
Watch this. I got to bring to you. Amen. Amen. I got to bring to you St. John, the 5th chapter, verses 24 and 25. Again, St. John, the 5th chapter, verses 24 and 25. Let me show you what Christ said. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word." In other words, that you hear the words of God, you hear the gospel, amen, that we preach. You read the word, you hear the word, amen, if you accept him. Now watch this. He said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me." See, there's a difference between hearing the word and believing the word. See, you can not only do you have to hear the word, but you got to believe it. See, the word has to be broken down. The word here is broke down to me, understand. So once we break it down to your knowledge to understand, it's up to you to believe it. So once we teach that salvation is free, easier than ABC 1, 2, 3, all you got to do is believe in your heart, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. The Bible said, "Thou shalt be saved." See, that's the second step. You got to hear it, understand it, and believe it. Say, you know what? I do believe that. Christ said, if you believe on him that sent me, amen. What
yes,
did it say? Have everlasting life. That's it. Everlasting life. Meaning that it's going to last for all eternity. Never ending.
Come on, preach.
Lord have mercy. Now watch what he says after that. He said, and shall not come into condemnation. God can't wait to see you in heaven. God ain't going to run you in the ground when you get in heaven. Well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do? God said Christ died for what you didn't do, but only what you do for Christ shall last. We've already established that. Amen. We've already established only what you do for Christ will last. God is just concerned about you believing. Christ always said when people saw his miracle, he said, "But did you believe?" I love that.
Amen.
I know you saw me heal the sick. I know I made the lame to walk and the blind to see and the deaf to speak. I know you've seen all these miracles, but what I need for you to get, amen.
Hey.
I know you understood that this man couldn't walk for many years since he was a child, but now he's walking. But I need to know, do you believe? See, that's the thing about the word. We preach the word, and you hear and you understand. We break it down. God said, man, you are tasting salvation. You are tasting the heavenly works of God. But at the end of the day, I need to know, do you believe? Because as we said, the only thing that's going to keep you out of the lake of fire is believing, not what you do. Not what you did, not how good you are, not how well you treated somebody every day, but did you believe that Christ died for your sins 2,000 years ago?
Come on,
please.
And he is soon to return, that God had raised him from the dead. And Paul said, if you believe that, Paul said, then thou shalt be saved. This is what Christ, see, I love the simplicity of God. God is simple. Only Satan tries to complicate and manipulate. God don't do those foolish, silly things. God don't play games. Amen. God don't play games. Amen. Well, amen. Amen. He said, and shall not come into condemnation, but is what passed from death unto life. Know that you only need to be saved one time. It is a fact. Amen. And I saw this the other day. I was researching. I saw this the other day. I said, man, that reminds me of what we've been talking about with Nicodemus, with his meeting with Christ. It is a scientific fact. Hear me good. This is a man thing. It is a scientific fact that every human being, amen, amen, has to pass through the legs of a woman. Amen.
Amen.
Coming to this world. That's my knowledge. Amen. I know they got test tube babies. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that they still have to be birthed through a woman. I could be wrong. I don't know any other way that you can be born into this world. I don't know any other way that a baby can be nurtured. Amen. But it has to come through a woman. Am I correct, brother?
Go ahead, brother. That's right. That's the way God intended to be.
Amen. That's the way God. Okay. Amen. Amen. I like that. So let's roll with that. The way God says, so forget what man is doing. When God created Adam and Eve, his intent is for you to be called a man or a woman. Amen. For you to be born into this world. The process that God created is that you must pass through what's called the birth canal. And a child must exit the woman's womb through the uterus to be born into this world. That says a lot. That's an example of something. And that's the meeting that Nicodemus had with Christ that night when he came to Nicodemus came to Christ. He said, can a man be born of his mother? Christ said, you must be born again. Amen. And Christ explained that Nicodemus, you only need to be born one time. And you must be born of what? The Spirit.
Yeah.
So when you're born one time through your mother, your baby can't go back up there. You can't. Once that baby comes out, there's
no
way physically possible for that child to go back into the woman. It is impossible. God didn't create man that way or woman that way. He didn't create birth to happen that way. Once that baby exits, that child is born. I want you to know that once you are born again, can't nobody, no devil in hell tell you you're not saved. I tell people all the time, don't let nobody tell you once you come. I don't care what you've been, what you've done, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you even sold your soul. Once you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you are saved. And can't no devil in hell tell you anything different. Family, we love you. We'll be back on the air this Saturday. God bless you. Amen. Family, remember that you are royalty. We are royalty. And we'll see you this weekend. We're going to continue this, brother, because we got a lot. We got a lot to give. We got a lot of a short period of time to give it to you. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
May God, Yahweh, and Heavenly Father be the glory. We thank you for his sacrifice, his son, Yahshua. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We will be back.